also want to acknowledge, as you can see, that Lynn Bethel, our moderator, is the lead author. And she is someone that has clearly learned the role of advocacy for an oral health professional and has clearly advocated with all of us in our division to learn more about the importance of oral health issues across all our programs. So I'm excited to be presenting the results of the survey. And I have no relationship to SCUS. Let me tell you a little about our survey. It was done recently in 2007. It was a collaboration with the Dental Hygiene Association in the state of Massachusetts. It also was put forth in close partnership and with the assistance of our Board of Registry in Dentistry. And it was timed to be at the same timing as the license renewal of our dental hygiene population in Massachusetts. So that was in January to March of 2007. It was a 29-item survey instrument that was on 2 pages. And the purpose of the survey was to determine the status, practices, and potential utilization of the dental hygiene workforce for increasing the public health oral health access to oral health services in Massachusetts, and hopefully it's having some implications for other states as well. Just briefly, of the 29 data points on the survey, it covered ranges from age of the hygienist, places of service, access to benefits, primary care settings, what the insurance of their settings that they worked in accepted, range of different variables. But for today's presentation, we're just focusing on some of the variables that were included in the survey relevant to the points we want to make today. So excitingly, to tell you that there are close to 64,000 dental hygienists that were eligible for licensure in Massachusetts in 2007. And we had a 70% return on the survey, which, as you know, that survey is an incredibly high number. And one of the things that I want to emphasize here is that combining the survey with the licensure renewal is obviously a very good way to get survey returns. It was not a requirement of the licensure renewal, but it was appended to the licensure renewal, and as in, some other states have found that this is an excellent way to gather information, and we hope to follow this kind of approach to getting important information about other healthcare professionals in Massachusetts, and we're working closely with all our boards to gather more data and baseline information in order to address workforce shortages in general. So as you can see, we had, as I said, close to 4,500 responses. We had close to 32 telling us they were working in the state, 3,200 telling us they were working in the state. 616, about 14%, were not working in our state and working outside of the state. 3% reported no work location. Interesting for our survey, 408, which was about 8%, currently reported they were not working as a dental hygienist. And of that, as you can see, various percentages said they intended and wanted to return to practice. 36% said they did not intend to return to practice, and 39 did not respond to the question. So from our survey and from the analysis of the results, and you should know that we based the survey is really based on the N of the number of hygienists who had Massachusetts licenses and who practiced in Massachusetts, not those other categories of those who said that they practiced outside of the state. You can see from this graph that most of the dental hygienists in Massachusetts have more than 15 years experience. Therefore, we have a very experienced workforce in terms of our dental hygienists in Massachusetts. The next slide shows that the majority of the dental hygienists were over the age of 40 years. Now, again, this shows that we have a very experienced, very mature population of hygienists. It also, I think, raises the question that some of my colleagues have raised around the aging of the workforce in general, but also the experience that that workforce brings, and some of the issues around how do we recruit more dental hygienists into the workforce in order to 10% of those were interested in direct reimbursement for Medicaid. Overall, in Massachusetts, 17%, or an N of 482, were interested in receiving direct reimbursement for Medicaid. And in Massachusetts, you need to know that our population numbers show that about 17% of the Massachusetts population are Medicaid recipients. The next slide shows the experience of our dental hygiene population in Massachusetts in terms of the survey results. They're advanced working with special needs population. You can see that over 60% have some experience working with special needs populations, and 12.8% were interested in receiving direct reimbursement from Medicaid or other third-party payments. So the point here, and also, is that those hygienists who had experience and exposure to working with special needs populations were very interested or more interested in continuing or being recipients of direct reimbursement. Next slide. This is a map of Massachusetts, and you can see by the various colors that we're trying to show the location of the dental hygienists in Massachusetts who are interested in Medicaid and receiving third-party reimbursement. There are clusters in some of our urban areas, but there's also some interesting places. For example, on the Cape, where we have a significant health professional shortage area, both for primary care and oral care, there's a cluster of dental hygienists in the Cape that stands out. So some of the recommendations we would like to put forth from this survey is that oral health professionals and public health advocates, community leaders, and policy people must continue to address the oral health crisis in Massachusetts, and I know in all our states, that we recommend that the utilization of dental hygienists in public health and alternative settings would reduce the disparities and improve direct access to preventive care to those residents of the state at highest risk of dental disease. Next slide. That initiative should be focused on expanding mass health provider status to all interested dental professionals in order to increase the availability of well-trained oral health workforce serving our most needy residents. And that innovative and creative strategies, initiatives, and programs need to be developed to attract currently licensed dental hygienists to return to the dental workforce so that more people may access preventive services. And as well as I noted before, to come up with strategies to look at some of the pipeline issues. This map shows states that have practice acts that allow direct access to dental hygienists. Those are the blue stars. Those that allow direct access and directly reimburse hygienists are the yellow stars. And you can see Massachusetts there in pink with a question mark. And I think it's important for me to share as we end today some of the things that are happening in Massachusetts, even as I speak, around the role of dental hygienists and increasing access to key oral health services. We have currently several bills that have been put forth. The first bill that's up there is called an Act to Increase Access to Oral Health Care. And that bill was actually a standalone bill that was submitted and supported by the Massachusetts Dental Hygienists Association. And in that bill, it was to provide preventive services without the supervision of a dentist, but with a collaborative agreement. That bill more or less morphed over time and was included in another bill that is called an Act to Improve, Promote, and Protect the Oral Health of the Commonwealth. And in that bill, it's really a combination legislation bill, and it restructured some of the language in the first bill. It added some restrictions. It changed some of the language. It also has some financial implications, and as of the end of our formal session in July, it has passed the Senate, but then sort of fell into what I call legislative limbo at this point, and it's sitting in the informal session in the House Ways and Means area. And currently, I think our Board of Registry, and that, so both of those bills have not passed. And I would imagine, let's go back to the second one, given the change in the fiscal situation and the fact that there is some dollars attached to Senate Bill 2819, it will likely stay in legislative limbo for a while and maybe resubmit it in the next legislative session, modified in some way. But even as I'm speaking, Board of Registry and Dentistry and the board meeting this afternoon is reviewing some draft language about regulation changes that would create a category for public health dental hygienists to work under the general supervision and standing order from a dentist. It's not as liberal as the first bill that was proposed by the Dental Hygiene Association and had their legislative sponsors, but it is a step in the right direction. It removes some barriers to the provision of preventive oral health care. And finally, the last slide.
Do I still have some time left?
Two minutes. I just wanted to tell you, given my interest is not just in terms of oral health workforce, but from a bigger perspective, in Massachusetts, we're going through the sturm und drang of health reform. We call the phase of our health reform now Massachusetts Health Reform 2, and there's been a recent legislative act that was passed this past session that we're calling Health Reform 2, and it addresses a whole bunch of issues, including healthcare cost containment reform and adoption of health information technology. But the thing that I think is most exciting for us in the Department of Public Health, and including the Office of Oral Health, establishes a healthcare workforce center at the Department of Public Health. And we envision this healthcare workforce center to not to be the focal point of gathering workforce information and data on all the healthcare professionals. The language itself right now is focusing on primary care professionals, doctors, and nurse practitioners. But we plan and intend to combine in this center the Office of Oral Health's priorities, the Office of Rural Health's priorities, the primary care office's priorities, and sort of combine the synergy and the advocacy and the interests of all those areas into sort of benefit from the economies of scales and the shared interest, of course, of across those programs, so that we don't have to duplicate efforts. For example, as this survey shows, we've learned from Lynn's initiative and the others who worked on this survey that medical board and dental board licensure process is a great place to get data. We're going to try to take a comparable survey and use it for nurses and use it for physicians. When Oral Health does a video on how to recruit and entice residents to come to Massachusetts, we're going to try to extrapolate from that and not do the same thing for recruiting primary care doctors.